9:02. We're late. We're tardy.
I know. I'm starting the broadcast.
I dumped the clutch on my brain.
We're not
ready. We're not ready. I'm getting dressed, Internet.
Do I get detention after school for being tardy?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hoping.
To be fair, Breida, I think we've pretty much set, like, you are always on time in Breida time.
I am. Well, you know.
You're rarely more, you know, at most you're a minute or two after we start the broadcast, but generally it's a minute or two before we start the broadcast, and so therefore you're always right on time, Breida.
I like to leave my audience wanting.
And also for those of you who are not a host of the Squirrel Report, which is most of you, yeah, when the show is over, Breida is over.
I'm sorry. I just said that.
Gone like a cat.
I love you guys, but I'm done.
Well, to be fair, the vast majority of the people that listen to this show do not listen to it live.
I know. It makes me sad because one of the things I love about this show is the call-ins.
Yeah.
And actually, that's also hint, hint. But one of the things I've loved about every show I've ever done is the call-ins. I'm not going to name names, but the other shows I've done, the call-ins are the best part. I mean, I love my co-hosts and I've always, I mean, for years now enjoyed talking to you, but the call-ins are really interesting because you get to talk to new people, you know.
And to be fair, you know, I was actually talking to Sean, actually it was just yesterday about the Gunblog Variety Cast and saying, you know, that's one of the cool things about that show is that it meets a very, very interesting niche that is not covered by other podcasts. And our podcast is one of those neat and interesting, you know, niches that it has its own thing. And its own thing is we are not a podcast. We are internet talk radio. But some people can listen to it as a podcast, which is all well and good. You know, those of you who are listening to this as a podcast, I don't judge you. But a lot of people do what we do on that level. But what we don't do is have 214-530-0036. You can be on the air right now.
This sounds like an infomercial.
That's right. Call now. Have your credit card. Standing by.
Operators are standing by.
Have your credit card ready.
If you call within the next 8 minutes, shipping will be free. And we'll throw in a turnip twaddler.
A what?
Yes.
It was never explained, but that was Burke Breathed's version of the spaghetti incident from Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh,
Calvin and Hobbes,
the thing that will never be mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, if Tommy's listening, he's wrong about Calvin and Hobbes. Horribly, horribly wrong.
What did he say?
I liked Calvin Hobbes up until the end. There was. Yes. While it was like nearing the end, it became this like preachy weird thing for me. But up until that point, it was fantastic.
To be fair, you know, Breida, my mother-in-law is currently retiring, mm-hmm. and she is entirely not doing what I would do if I was retiring. Like, you don't need a reference from any of these people. No one is ever going to check your employment reference when you quit. When you are done with this job. You are done with all jobs forever.
Yes. Oh my God! Optional day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it'd be one of those like. Yeah. No, I would be peeing in the ficus plant in the lobby.
You know, my mother got a job right after she retired. She retired from her job, and she decided, well, I need something to do. So she got a job at my library, part time doing paging stuff. And Breida. there came a point where she was like, why am I doing this? And she was like, screw this. I don't need this. And she quit.
Good for her.
Go
she
mom.
Just, she thought you needed an enforcer. She just yeah. thinking, kind of like.
But no, but that's the whole thing. It's one of those. No, with Calvin and Hobbes, he knew he was done and he knew he was done for good. Maybe he was getting to the point of terms or maybe he was getting to the point of the, you know. Fuck off. I don't need to do this comic. Because you always, everyone always starts off trying to please everyone. Then you get to that point where oh wait, I really don't need to. Yeah. I've got a fan base. I really don't need to please everyone, so I can take some risks. And then once you get to the point where you know where you know Bill Watterson is right now, which is he doesn't give a flying fuck about Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, I kind of have like a, I kind of have a plan for when I give my 2 weeks notice at the library. It's gonna be the most epic 2 weeks life. 2 weeks. Like in library history, I guarantee it.
It's going to involve a flamethrower, isn't it?
Let me know far enough in advance that I can book airline tickets because I want to.
You want video?
I want to sit in the library and watch this happen.
I told my mother-in-law just to stop showing up at work and see how long it would for them to realize that she wasn't coming in anymore.
Well, you know, let's all be honest, though. None of us are going to be retiring.
Nope.
The way the economy is.
Not in the picture.
I'll be retiring.
Well, you're already semi-retired.
Well, yeah. I have in my plans to be retiring, and also I have in my plans to be full-time working again before I retire. But, yes.
You're something of an optimist, then.
How's the baby?
She's cute.
Doing cute things.
Oh, so full of badness. She helped me cook dinner today by opening up the cabinets and pulling out all the pots and pans and all the cutting boards.
Nice.
Very nice.
And what's nice is everything in the universe is either a drum or a sled.
Yes.
Well, yeah. What?
Yep. So she either beats on it for it to make fun sounds, or she puts her hands down on it and pushes and slides it across the floor of the kitchen like a sled. Doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes it'll be like she'll have just like one like a wooden block in each hand, and just be sliding around on the wooden blocks. Or it'll be a cutting board, or a saucepan, or a bag of diapers, whatever. Everything nice. Can be a sled,
or a drum,
and yep. Sometimes both.
Ooh.
As a matter of fact, most sleds can be used as drums,
yeah.
Especially the diapers because they crinkle.
Yeah, just make sure the diaper doesn't. Oh!
Jay, you got squirrel.
It is Thursday, September 25th, 2014. Hey, this is episode 123.
Sweet.
For you OCD folks out there. 123.
I didn't change the combination on my luggage.
Number of episodes.
123.
Jay, what's the combination on your luggage?
5.
Password.
Password.
Yes. Password. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So, our topic. And yes, we have topics. But first, before we talk about our topics, let's talk about that call-in number. You know, it's a special number because it's a Texas number. And so when you're calling that number, you're calling Texas. And you want to call Texas, right? 214-530-0036.
Is there brisket involved?
There may be brisket involved somewhere at some point.
Hmm.
Do you need to call with a bigger phone?
Oh, let's talk about the bigger phone, Alan. Oh,
God.
What? Oh, have yeah.
Have you heard about the iPhone 6? What is it? 6 Plus now? Oh, yeah. 6 Plus. It's gigantic, for one thing. But apparently the hipsters are having problems with it because they're sticking it in their pants pockets. And when they move the phone bends. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alan hipsters is going to have to buy bigger pants.
Actually I saw a thing today that said Apple, I think it was 9. They've had 9 complaints about a bendy phone. It doesn't stop working, apparently. It just bends.
But have people seen... I haven't heard about this on the internet at all, but I own one. The iSwatch Plus.
I saw it. your iWatch.
I also have, for those in chat, I also have the Ice Watch regular. And I don't like it as much because it doesn't make my arm hurt. And it doesn't have chubby baby feet in the picture.
Well, I think that Apple will probably, what will happen is that they will come out with a iPhone case that will help your phone not to bend in your pocket. Because, you know, that's what they do. They get a phone and then a month later there's all these new iPhone cases that you can buy.
Sure.
And so I think that probably there will be a big market in iPhone 6 Plus cases that, you know, protects them from bending in your pocket.
Or probably more likely they'll do like what, I can't remember if it was Motorola or Samsung or all that, but just build a phone that has a slight curve to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's, I can't remember who did it, but somebody has a... Somebody built a phone that has a slight curve to it. I don't think it was necessarily as popular as it as
right as to fit your butt though, right?
But yeah, I like it. It's build it like a hip flask.
Or
and come on, don't we all have a hip flask? And aren't they comfortable to ride in your pocket?
I don't actually own a hip flask.
No, I don't.
Which is funny because they call it a hip flask, but
it goes
on your butt pocket, not your hip.
I don't know. I put it in my. I've always carried it around in my front pocket, right against my thigh.
Oh, okay.
Or a cargo pants pocket works also well.
Man pockets are a lot bigger than women pockets.
I have never felt the need to carry around a flask of anything.
Maybe iPhone will come out with like little like iPhone 6 Plus like you know fanny packs, so you can wear
it'll
the
come with a sling.
Oh, yeah. Lanyards.
Bringing back lanyard loops.
Well, except not bringing it back. Like, I mean, back in college, like, everyone carried, like, there was, like, so many people. I just couldn't do it because it's one of those, like, as soon as you step off of campus, you suddenly look like a raging dork. But suddenly when you're in campus, you got the herd mentality. But the people with, like, the university lanyards around their neck with their key card and their room key and their stuff like that on it. And, you know, and their student ID and all the other, you know, the important stuff only when you're in college and never anywhere else. And the same thing goes at my work. My work, it's all, you know, key card access everywhere. And so, and people wear the lanyards around their neck. And it's one of those, like, it looks so dorky outside. But as soon as you're in there, I can't say anything about it because everyone's wearing them and it actually looks pretty normal. So, again, iPhone could just get it so that everyone wears the goofy lanyards around their neck.
Hmm.
That might actually work.
Oh,
you know, I have, well, it's no secret that I frequently don't wear pants in the house.
Thanks for that.
But I also,
in the corner gouging out my mind.
So I also want to carry around my phone sometimes.
What does your cat think about that?
I have been known, you know, the media badge holder things you get from like the NRA convention or any other convention. I have been known to put that around my neck and stick my phone in it because I needed a pocket.
Oh my God.
You obviously need a pouch like a kangaroo, Al.
He does. He needs a pocket. Oh my gosh.
So, you could try to jam it in your pee hole.
No.
You could do butt crack carry.
No.
Oh. All at once.
So anyway, how about that Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I don't know.
DeGrasse? Oh. DeGrasse?
DeGrasse, I think.
I don't trust anybody with three names.
Apparently, well, yeah, it's there. Like he's a serial killer now.
Yeah, really.
Compulsive and serial fabricator of quotes and who knows what else.
Plus, he looks like Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He does. He absolutely
does.
Oh, yes, he does.
No, he's like a little afro. Carlton did not have an afro.
Yeah.
He also probably weighs like twice as much of him than all of
them. Oh, yeah.
Wow, have you seen him lately?
I always thought he kind of looked like Sinbad.
If Sinbad got rid of the fade and grew out the afro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And shaved off the goatee.
Yeah.
And just kept the porn stash. But yeah. All right, yeah, let's get in. First up, I'm going to say that, like, even after all of this, I still have a lot of respect for Neil deGrasse Tyson because, you know, he is like, you know, an OG, you know, legitimate scientist. It's not quite like, you know, Bill Nye, who's, I believe, a mechanical engineer. Now I'm trying to remember exactly what it is, but Bill Nye, the science guy, is not really that much of a science guy. He's a pretty super duper special, you know, specialized guy who decided to stretch off into stuff and overall is pretty much a blowhard.
Yeah, but and what he does isn't science either.
Yeah, he's overall, again, I guess I'm going to dive into this real quick. Yeah, if you are, you know, Vector is listening to this right now. Vector is an electrical engineer, and he knows a lot of stuff about electrical engineer. He was even talking about capacitors the other day, and I said something that he decided was extremely stupid, but it was a legitimate question about capacitors. And he thought I was joking, and I was not, because I know nothing about electrical engineering. And at the same time, he knows not a whole hell of a lot about biology. Oddly enough, science is specialized, and so therefore, you have a very, very simple bit of specialty. Neil deGrasse Tyson is an astrophysicist, and oh my God, is he an amazing one. And as soon as he steps out of that realm of knowledge, he is everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, just because you're smart in one area does not make you smart in all areas.
Yeah, he may be able to form a little bit of a better opinion about something than, you know, a high school dropout with a 2-digit IQ, but at the same time, he's no different than, your average Hollywood celebrity giving their opinion on something that they know nothing about. He might be dead on. He might be way the hell off. It might have been a good try, but at the same time, it's still a stab in the dark because while he's got that nice PhD, it ain't in everything.
When you're outside your sphere of expertise, you are no better than Jenny McCarthy talking about vaccines.
Well, you know, the other thing is a PhD by its nature, there is no such thing as a generalist PhD. PhDs are very specific. You get a PhD for one tiny, 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 tiny little thing in your area of study. And that's it. That's what you get your PhD. You do your you do your doctoral thesis and you get your PhD and usually your thesis is on some minute tiny little thing that nobody else gives a shit about.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I don't think I'm going too far off the reservation, but as someone who just has a BS, I will point out the fact that sometimes also since PhDs are hard to do and you're really, really getting up in the rarefied air of knowledge and pomp and circumstance and all of that, that it often makes things worse.
It often does.
PhDs are kind of the second tenet of the science world. Is they definitely almost always have a higher opinion of themselves than necessary.
We have a call.
Yay! Oh, good. I hope they're not a second lieutenant.
They may be. This is area code 508. Hello.
Huh? Hello. How's it going?
Doing fine. Who is this?
This is Eric Gell.
Oh, howdy. Ah.
That's what I thought it was with that funny
joke. I know that guy. Code.
You do.
How's everything going today?
It's going. I'm getting ready to go to me. And apparently not to visit Weird, because he's also going to me.
Yes.
What's
hopefully we'll
Maine?
Bump into each other.
Maine's a big state.
Lobsters.
And bears.
Hmm. Bears, swamp donkeys.
Actually, even better is... You want to hear an Alan sigh? I am actually going up to Maine to eat barbecue.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's a big barbecue. Yeah. Going to put some maple syrup in it.
No. Oh, barbecue God, what?
In the list of states, known for their barbecue. Maine's right up at the top.
Oh man!
Oh, the a club that my parents belong to is having their annual pig roast.
Alan,
so there's a there will Jay. Be a smoked pig and a couple of smoked turkeys.
I think you should go out somewhere for some potatoes and maple syrup in Texas now.
Why are you going to Maine, Archibald?
I'm going to Maine partially to play golf, and mostly because Ragnar's grandmother would like to see him for a weekend, and so has invited Mrs. and I to bring him to Maine and go play golf while she plays with the little guy. So
very nice, excellent.
It was hard to argue with.
Yeah, especially since it's one of those like, oh, no, she's not being generous. It's just like we went away for a weekend and left the baby with my parents, and they keep saying, when do you guys want to go away again?
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, why not? So we're going to go up to Sugarloaf when there's not snow on the ground, which will be actually the first time I've ever done that.
I bet it's beautiful up there this time of year.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Because the colors are just starting to change here. So I'm imagining Maine is pretty beautiful
right now. I bet you they're a little bit further ahead, especially the Sugarloaf.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they should be starting to turn by now. But it's supposed to be 80 during the day and 50 at night. So hopefully it's cold enough that there aren't too many people getting in the way, but we'll see. So,
just logging
trucks. Go ahead.
Just logging trucks getting in the way.
The ubiquitous logging truck, the Maine state bird.
Well, I've got my bottle of 100% deep, and it's less than 3 ounces, so I'm bringing it on the airplane with me.
100% deep. Lovely.
You'll need it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Those Maine mosquitoes.
We haven't had a killing frost yet, so no, it is not safe.
The only question is whether 100% heat will be adequate or whether I should actually bring an anti-aircraft gun.
Yeah, the black flies are small enough that they can fly between the bullets.
That's why you use exploding shells.
Ah, yeah, good deal. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, it works great.
Yeah, get a pintle mount for your skitter.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know.
Why did he call in anyway?
Yeah. Have you read the Neil deGrasse Tyson's fabrications?
I read the article about his fabrications and said that's the least surprising thing I've read all week, and moved on. Mostly I called in because I was actually awake during the show for once.
Oh, good.
So,
cool.
My only other piece of news is that we're almost out of gin and we're going to be forced to switch to vodka like fucking animals.
Oh, no.
But wait, you're going to be driving through New Hampshire, aren't you?
Well, yes, but I'm in Virginia right now, so...
Oh, okay. So tonight you're going to have to do the vodka thing. Hey, man, at least it's not mint scope. So long as you're not drinking scope like a library patron.
No.
Vanilla. I wish they would drink scope.
Yeah,
oh,
that'd be a
God.
Step up.
That would be a step up. Oh.
No, have you ever caught them drinking, Brita?
No, they just stink. Scope would be great.
Scope would be an improvement.
Yes. Ugh.
Yeah.
Jay mentioned the vanilla extract. That would also be a step up, because I've heard stories about like the old town drunk who buys the vanilla extract, you actually want to be around when he farts because it smells like a wedding cake.
You know, I can remember a lot of town drunks, and I don't think any of them ever drank vanilla extract or mint scope. It was mostly plastic bottle whiskey.
Ooh, the good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's one word for it.
Here, when I see the piles of sleeping clothes as I walk through Boston to go to work in the morning, it's usually the plastic bottles of vodka for them.
Well, they don't break when you drop them.
And it means that they spent less than $5 for that fifth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, there's nothing good. No good liquor comes in a plastic bottle.
Eh, I got some Canadian Mist right now.
There's lots of bad liquor that doesn't come in them either.
Yes.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. We got some more calls stacking up. So,
woohoo!
All right. Well, have a good night.
Thanks. We do have more calls. I'm trying to answer one right now.
But it's too hard for you?
This is area code 661. Hello. Where is area code 661?
Pennsylvania.
Is it?
Oh, no. That's Los Angeles, California.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Ooh.
Coast to coast.
All the way
baby.
On the west coast.
Awesome.
Area code 90210?
That's zip code.
That's a zip code.
Yeah, nope. A little too expensive for my blood, but, you know.
Who is this?
How are you tonight? It's John.
Hey, John.
It
thanks
is
for calling.
John, how is Lucy tonight?
Problem. She is good. We just got back to the vet spending $300.
Ugh.
She got an ear infection, so they had to do some
stuff. John has the cutest little pit bull girl dog, and she is just the sweetest thing. I love her.
Rita, I think you can call them bitches, and it's not rude.
No, she's a girl.
She is a girl. Thank you.
Yes, she's very cute and sweet, and she is definitely a girl. So, I'm a fan of Lucy.
Good.
Anyway, how are you tonight, John?
I'm good. I actually, I called so I could figure out what you guys are talking about because I'm driving. So what's the topic for today?
Well,
sorry, I came unprepared.
That's fine. The current topic is the fabulations of Neil deGrasse Tyson and the, I guess, the rise or the science, calling things science that aren't really science in general.
Oh, yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay. Well, I have the beef with him already, so I'm glad that's the topic.
What's your beef you have with him?
Question.
I'm curious about this.
Okay. So I think he's a very intelligent guy. He's great. But he has this, he had an opinion about GMOs. And yes, I'm from California, so you can roll your eyes. That someone asked him a question about GMOs, and he gave a response saying that he didn't think GMOs were an issue, and he said that the reason why is that we've been genetically modifying foods for years, and he was talking about the hybridization of, like, fruits and vegetables, which has nothing to do with genetically modifying foods. And so he spouts off his belief about that as if it's fact and dismissed this person as being not scientifically sound because they had a concern about GMOs, when really the issue with genetically modified foods is like splicing in fish DNA into tomatoes. You know, that's what would be considered a genetically modified organism, at least in my mind, not the hybridization of foods, which is, you know, pretty natural and happens in nature all the time. So I think he was misinformed on that, and he was putting that out as fact, and I thought that was unfortunate.
I'm not much of a biologist, but I kind of think of hybridization as kind of like crossing a poodle with a Labrador.
Yes. So, like, if you grow like a tangerine tree next to an orange tree to get a tantalum,
right,
that's like hybrid,
right,
like hybrid fruit. That's normal. But once you start putting in different DNA from different animals so that they can, say, survive a wicked frost. Like, that's when, you know, I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me, and I probably wouldn't buy it, so.
I before you called in, that was definitely something I brought up on, is the fact that, yeah, no, he's a brilliant astrophysicist. He is not a brilliant biologist because he didn't do a whole lot of studying of biology, and I'm a biologist. And
he was a professional wrestler. He can talk about professional wrestling if you want. He was a buff dude when he was younger.
Yep. I I'm one of those GMO defenders, just because. But I mean, you're absolutely correct. Just directly comparing, you know, the growing, you know, certain grains beside each other, or you know, grapefruit is a cross between an orange and a pomelo, if I remember correctly, and you know, things like that is drastically different than actually inserting a vector of DNA into a plant embryo and then letting it grow up. But at the same time, I definitely see a lot of the testing and stuff that goes on with GMOs. I think the fear of them is very, very overblown.
I agree. I think that there is some GMO where they were increasing the yield of vitamin E in rice, and they were, you know, allowing that to like third world countries. I think that's great. I just, some of the things make me uncomfortable, but I look forward to more studies being done on them so that we can have a better form. I'm a cancer survivor, so like I have a lot of like weird thoughts about foods where I try to get them to be as, you know, clean or pure as possible, just because I don't want to run the chance of, you know, some massively reproducing cell in my body taking over again. So I don't know. That's just a weird thing that I have.
To be fair, your cancer was not GMO. It was a very natural occurrence. not to belittle that horrible experience, and I'm glad you made it out okay from that.
Thank you. And yeah, you know, like I said, it doesn't mean it's the most rational thing. I just, you know, and I'm not some rabid liberal either. I don't care if other people eat it. And I just choose not to eat it myself.
No, it doesn't sound like unrational. I mean, I'm a GMO apologist, but I've got no issue with like people being concerned about it. And absolutely, there's, whenever you alter something, there's going to be unintended consequences, no matter what you do and how you do it, and no matter how careful you are. I would definitely say there might be more issues with allergic reactions and things like that. Someone who is perfectly fine eating tomatoes all of a sudden becomes allergic to tomatoes because there's, you know, some of the, even though it wasn't even peanut DNA, some of the peanut protein is now suddenly being produced in the tomato because of how the tomato interprets that DNA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets a bunch of nuclear waste from his plant and he spreads it over a farm and it mixes with tomato and tobacco, and they call it tomaco. And everyone gets addicted to Homer's new crop because it's got like super spiked up nicotine, and it looks like a tomato. I think that's one of my favorite episodes.
My favorite quote from that is, "Oh my god, it tastes disgusting!" And Bart goes, "Yes, but it's smooth and mild."
It tastes like, I think the police officer, he's like, Ralphie eats a bite of it. He's like, "This tastes like grandma," and the police officer's like, Yes, eat grandma, you know, force feeding it some, this plant. I think Marvel ends up buying it from him, or Big Tobacco ends up trying to buy it from him for like $1 billion.
Nice.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling. All right.
Better, Brad.
You know, I have a problem with GMO, but it's not what you would think.
Uh-oh.
My problem with GMO is that it's all patented, and a lot of times they don't let you. Okay, for instance, historically, you know, when you grow something, you know, if you're a farmer, right, you grow some thing, and then you sell some of it, you keep some of it to start your crop for next time, right?
Yep.
Or you give the seeds to the seed bank, and then you get other seeds from the seed bank for diversification and stuff like that. Not with GMO. It's all patented and licensed, and they are some of the things they're doing to farmers is just crazy. They find some kind of grain is kind of blown in and growing on your land, and they'll come in and kill off your whole crop. It's nuts. And a lot of stuff, you know, they're getting rid of seed banks and things like that. I mean, that bothers me more than the GMO itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those, I do it on the genetically modified mice side of it, but that's, it's a way to, it's essentially a way of, you know, of, you know, getting the price for your labor in there, because it's far more labor intensive than just, oh, these happened to grow on our farm, or we were able to cross these plants and hey, it worked, yep. You know, sort of situation. It's very less labor intensive than actually, you know, actually getting in and monkeying around with the DNA for it. And so it's one of those, we can't just buy, oh, let's, you know, oh, we want to do some work on this type of mouse. So we're going to buy a whole bunch of these type of mouse and, oh, we're going to experiment on males, but we're going to throw a few females in there and kind of do the Chinese IT thing of the, oh, no, we only need one copy of your software, you know, sort of idea. And then all of a sudden, no, we don't need you anymore because we're breeding our own animals. No, we need to specifically buy animals for the purpose of breeding. And that's just a way of just saying that, you know, yes, we acknowledge and we are paying for what you have done. You know, it does suck because it drastically changes a previous paradigm, while, you know, the research that we do is, I guess to some extent it was the same way on the research.
As long as you're not going around to everyone else and pushing your genetically altered mice on them by force of law and requiring them to pay you as well, which is a lot of times what happens in the agriculture business.
Well, what's the force of law? This is something I just started researching on, but haven't really read enough on it yet. What is the force of law side of it?
Well, I am by no means an expert on this, but I'm sure there's lots of people that are. But there are some places where they've gone in and they have gotten rid of seed banks. Like, you know, the government comes in and says, okay, you can't do this anymore. It's illegal. It's just like they come in and go, okay, you can't sell raw milk out of your farm, or you can't sell, you know, you got a little farm somewhere and all of a sudden they come in and say, nope, you can't grow stuff and sell it here because you're engaging in agriculture. You know, it all goes back to that. And I'm not a lawyer and I can't remember the case, but there was a case during the Depression where they ruled, it was Ferguson. I don't know. Anyway, They ruled that growing food for your own consumption and not for sale anywhere else was engaging in commerce, and therefore they could regulate it, because if you didn't grow it, you'd buy the food to eat from somewhere else. It's completely fucked up.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that, or vaguely familiar with that case. That does not work. Exist in the research animal side thing,
but it does exist in the agriculture side of things, and the government heavily regulates agriculture all across the country.
Yeah, that fucked up case is definitely all I need to know to suddenly win me over to your side of the, oh, this sounds really screwed up, and it's probably true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just like if I hear about, oh, the ATF did a really, really screwed up, you know, ruling on something. Oh, I automatically believe it because I've read enough to know that, yeah, no, they only deal with screwed up.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, speaking of ATF, one of the big rumors of Holder's retirement now is that it's because that judge didn't grant a stay on releasing the Fast and Furious documents.
What's really interesting is now that he doesn't work directly for Obama, will Obama throw him under the bus? And all I'm going to say is look at the microcosm experiment of America, which is Massachusetts, where we have Deval Patrick, who is essentially a scaled down Obama in every way, shape or form. Deval Patrick essentially hired a compatriot hack to change his party affiliation from Democrat to independent and run against him for governor as a way to spoil the last governor's race, and then paying him and working on him. And then as soon as he lost the race, which was exactly what everyone had predicted, but also helped win it for Deval Patrick, brought him up on corruption charges from some stuff that he was doing, actually stuff that he was doing during the campaign. So he threw him as soon as he was no longer useful, he threw him up the river. Nice. So I'm kind of wondering if by Holder resigning, if essentially he's signing his own death warrant, which would make me very happy.
Yeah, I don't, you know, who knows? At this point, there's no way of knowing.
Yeah, they're not saying. We have completely and utterly forgotten all about Fast and Furious. That's not even last week. That's like a million years ago. It might as well have happened in the Pleistocene era.
Actually,
it's very sad.
What difference does it make anyway?
Yeah. I heard about this over the news wire. I was, you know, feeding my baby when it came across the news. So I hadn't been plugged into the usual suspect sources. So I wasn't in the deep blogosphere where, you know, all the gun geeks are always watching this sort of stuff and it's going to be reported. And nope, Fast and Furious was absolutely referenced in just the basic news blurbs.
Yeah, but they're talking about the Vin Diesel movie.
Well, they're talking about Fast and Furious, but the people who are watching this newscast today, like, don't know what they're referencing.
Actually, I would disagree with that as well. Actually, I've been.
You think so?
That was when all the ISIS stuff was starting to happen. Mm-hmm. Either I was always amazed at the people that were not gun nuts, were not political nuts, were not all of that, were either I would bring up Fast and Furious and I would bring it up in an ambiguous way and then say, hey, do you know what I'm talking about here? And it's actually a lot of people.
Are these like people on the internet or people?
No. These are like coworkers. These are coworkers, just you know, casual acquaintances, and
just like regular people.
These are absolutely positively regular people. These are not any of the people that you are aware of through any of my channels of discussion. So yeah, so no, I will just say I was very surprised at the amount of exposure to the low information type people. That actually were aware of at least the precursory knowledge of Fast and Furious. They didn't necessarily know all the ins and outs of it, you know, and they may even, you know, go a little further of, well, didn't Bush do that too, sort of idea. But it's not a super duper deep cut. It's right up there with, you know, Ferguson and Trayvon Martin.
We're talking about Fast and Furious now, but Benghazi now is ancient history.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. Well, first of all, the news cycle moves so fast, right? It's like a constant. It's almost like a turnover. It's crazy. But not only do you have that constant cycle of news turnover, but they're not covering things.
You may
hear about it, but it doesn't exist in a real way for you.
I will say with a whole lot of confidence that Benghazi is not forgotten, and I think that it is intentionally being suppressed. For the benefits of the Democrats, because I think there's a lot of people out there that don't want Hillary to become president. And so they're going to give it a rest so that they can tackle it again. So there's not going to be the low information types there, you know, the people that aren't political junkies. If they were harping on it every day, you know, like they wanted to, people would be fatigued with it. And then the Democrat primary would start and it would then be old news. Instead,
where do you think most people get their news from? CNN.
John Stewart.
CNN.
I would actually say John Stewart, CNN, and then depending on how they lean, you know, if they're more right leaning Fox, and if they're more left leaning MSNBC.
Yeah,
but I mean that's just pure confirmation bias. Is you know, hell, I'm the, you know, I'm the dude that reads the anti-gun blogs in, you know, in people's things, because I'm one of those people that, you know, gets a charge out of pressure testing my arteries, as Tam would say, who's also a person who enjoys flipping on stuff that she knows is going to aggravate her. You know, most people want to flip something on that doesn't aggravate them. And if you're a super ultra lefty liberal, you know, NPR is awfully enjoyable, and MSNBC is awfully enjoyable. And on the same side of it is, you know, even I can't listen to NPR.
I can't either.
You know, sort of ideas. You know, I'm not going to listen to that while I'm just driving my car, because I need to concentrate on the road.
I think NPR was the one that broke the Holder resignation.
Yeah, could have been. I don't know, but I think we're going to hear a whole lot of Benghazi coming up. I think. And it's going to be coming from the left.
It'll be coming from whoever's running against Hillary,
right?
Exactly.
Primary wise,
it'll be Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden that are going to be.
For God's sake, Joe Biden.
Hey, really? you don't get to be that much of a narcissist and then just suddenly. I'm too stupid to run.
Honestly, if the Republicans run Romney again, I think I would vote for Biden.
The humor alone would be worth it. It would also depend on Biden's Veep, because I suspect he'd be needed. Well, and I don't mean like something would happen to Biden. I mean, like, he'd wander into traffic or something.
I mean, I'm still super duper duper glad that Obama won and Romney lost. A lot of people are all going, you know, you always hear all these people going, you know, well, aren't you more, don't you wish that, you know, that you had voted for Romney, you know, especially I'm hearing a lot here with all the people talking about what a jerk Scott Brown is, and how people really need to just get away from him now that he's running for Senate in New Hampshire. And the common, you know, Scott Brown apologist statement is, you know, yeah, you guys didn't vote for Mitt Romney, and now we have Obama for president. And I'm just going, all right, if Romney was president, no, we would not have these, like, you know, scandals where essentially people are directly saying these are criminal actions. This is not underhanded, unethical crap. This is straight up, people should be going to prison for this stuff sort of thing, because that's Chicago politics, and that's what you get when you have a Chicago politician. But at the same time, we would have a nationwide assault weapons ban again, because Romney would push for gun control, and the Republicans would fall behind him. Instead of when Obama pushes for gun control, the rank and file Republicans, they hate guns just as much as Obama does. But you know what, Obama's the other side, and they can't ever agree with him. It's just like we Democrats are the party of peace until they're in power.
Right. And they go bomb the shit out of somebody.
Yep. Republicans are the Second Amendment party until they're in power. And if you have someone like Romney, who is an extremely anti-gun person, as president, if Newtown had happened under Romney's watch, you know, the big difference between him and Obama is Romney is smart. Romney is smart, and Romney is someone who has accomplishments, and that makes him dangerous. Is I would much rather have this moron of a president that we have right now. And that's the same thing to said about Biden. And that's actually the thing that I'm going rolling over my head right now about our current Massachusetts governor's race, is right now we're dealing with a rhino Republican versus a complete moron. And I'm really kind of thinking that the moron might be the better choice. Though, to be fair, he's a fairly dumb Republican. So it actually might be just better to have the Republican, because then we'll just have.
Well, at least if you have the Republican, the entire Democrat legislature won't want to do anything.
Well, except for Romney was able to accomplish a whole lot of horrible.
Well, that's because he went along with whatever they wanted and just made it work.
Yeah. Well, that could be happening here as well with Charlie Baker, but I don't know if he's quite smart enough. I don't know him that well. Hmm. Either way, people need to be careful about partisanism, because especially once you start dealing with, you know, this current ilk of, you know, weak politicians, things can go sideways real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I think we will be fatigued with Benghazi by next year.
You know, I look at these parties and I look at these people that there's, you know, I mean, it's time to start jockeying for position, right, for the presidential race.
Yep.
It's almost the 2014 election, and as soon as that smoke clears from that, we're going to start the build up for the, you know, the 2016 primaries and the big election. And I'm shocked, in a way I'm not, because the political parties are imbecilic to start with. But these people that, you know, it's like Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, these are the best the Democrats can come up with.
When you look at the rising star.
Yep. Carrie also made a joke about running for president that sounded like it had a whole lot of air of truth in it.
He'll just withhold his Botox.
But again, to be fair, who's the idiots here? There is a lot of talk about Romney running again.
I know.
And if he does, he will lose again, and he will lose again to whatever the hell they managed to get in there. Because if you lost to McCain was a losing candidate, and I think would have done just as well as Romney in the 2012 election.
Yep.
But at the exact same time, to lose the 2012 election, and the same thing with the 2004 election with Bush being supremely unpopular, is just a great example of political incompetence.
Yep.
Again, you know, the Romney running, a lot of people compared Romney in 2012 to Bob Dole's run against Bill Clinton. It was not. It was John Kerry's run against George W. Bush. That was signed and sealed and ready for a Democrat handover, and they fucked it up.
Well, you know, one of the things, I mean, and this is, we're getting really into the minutia of politics, and I'm sorry if people are falling asleep.
What? Huh? How dare you disturb
me? We are a political podcast, goddammit.
But, you know, one of the things I keep reading over and over and over again is the big data side of the Democratic Party, and the you know, they got Google and Facebook and these giant data companies putting together these massive data mining operations to get out the vote at a block by block level. You know, they have these apps where operatives on the street can go and basically update in almost real time all the data about the voters that live on their street. You know, and who's going to vote and who's not going to vote and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, the Republicans are in this like the thrall of these political consultants who build their own proprietary systems and then want to sell them. And they're very, you know, they don't, oh no, you can't mix your data with our data because it's proprietary and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it's like, you know, yet again, it's a case where they're more interested, the Republican establishment is more interested in being the Republican establishment than they are in winning elections. They don't really care if they win or lose as long as they stay in charge. Dead air. All right, I'll shut up now. Don't everybody talk at once.
Sorry, I was typing. Jay was also typing about the.
Alan West.
Yeah,
Alan West. I would crawl over broken glass to vote for Alan West.
Yeah, but
I agree. I love Alan West.
But he won't run.
I love him.
He's not stupid enough.
He's too smart to run.
Yeah,
because he knows better.
Yeah, and again, Matthew was saying, "Oh, would the left be too much of a coward to go after him because?" You know, going after a black man is racist. But no, he's a black Republican. Therefore,
he's a Republican.
You can be as racist as you want to black Republicans.
Right.
There. Oh, he's an Uncle Tom.
He's not really.
He's a race traitor.
Yeah, he's not really black.
Look at all the crap that Condi Rice
Sarah got. Palin was not really a woman.
No.
And yeah. Condi Rice was a house slave.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't even a fart in the news cycles.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, just wait till I was reading a thing. It said that when they get around to writing the political history of this time, watch the steady de-emphasis of the blackness of Obama and the emphasis of the whiteness. So this complete fuck up isn't actually the first black president.
Oh, so because he's such a failure, he's not really black,
right?
Is that what it is?
He's not a failure though.
I guarantee, especially if we get a president that has both parents would be considered by the political, you know, by the political correctness nonsense. Both parents would have their race listed as black. That would suddenly be the first black president.
Yep.
Because no one talks about Bill Clinton being the first black president anymore.
Yep. Although he was.
Isn't Obama the first gay president? No. They did that.
They absolutely did.
Cover.
Yep.
What was
that's
it?
Right.
Time magazine. I can't remember.
There was that. There is that crackpot in Chicago that keeps saying that he was blowing Obama while he was smoking crack.
Just saying. But no, there was a very famous black magazine cover. I think it was Time magazine. Time magazine.
It may have been.
I don't know. But it declared him as the first gay president. And it was like he had a rainbow halo or I don't recall.
At least it wasn't as horrible as the fact that Bill Clinton is the first black president because he's white trash. That was literally saying he grew up poor and it was
Newsweek, May.
Newsweek,
May 2012, that declared him the first gay president.
Yeah.
It's just because Michelle Obama has a penis.
That is true. She is transgendered. She is a trans female. So therefore, she is female. And therefore, he is not gay, just because he gives blowjobs at night.
I'm confused.
So is Michelle Obama.
Whatever's going on there, I'm confused. Teach your own, but, you know, whatever.
So how about that Secret Service, huh?
Secret Service. Oh, you mean...
I did hear one deliciously Machiavellian theory on that.
Are we talking about?
And of course, I'm referring to the Secret Service. You know, completely and utterly failing to stop the deranged guy from jumping the fence and running across the White House lawn and walking through the open front door. But the theory that is such
a crazy story. I remember going to an air show, and I was with who is now my ex aunt, which. Take that with everything that you can read into that, and we were looking at the what was it, the stealth fighter? What's the designation on that?
F-17.
Yeah, and so they had one of those parked there, and they had like a pylon ring around it, a pylon ring directly around the plane, and then essentially like a 25-foot circle around that one. With, you know, two guys on either side, essentially one guy was at 12 o'clock and one guy was at 6 o'clock, and they were just circling around the plane with 590 shotguns, and there was a sign that said, do not cross this line, you will be engaged by the guards, and my aunt goes, they wouldn't really shoot you, would they, if you cross that line? And I go, yeah, they would. They are instructed to. They're instructed to shoot you, and you've been warned, you know, sort of idea. And yet, somebody jumped over the White House fence, and was not immediately lit up.
No, he was taken down when he got inside the building. But anyway, this theory, and I don't put a lot of credence into it. I firmly fall into, you know, never attribute to malice, which can be ascribed to stupidity. But the theory was that Barack Obama is going to have Secret Service protection for the rest of his life. They've just shown him that they don't give a rat's ass. He's going to be looking over his shoulder the rest of his life.
I ain't taking a bullet for that guy.
You know?
There is that.
I think it was just, they were up on, I think there were Colombian hookers in town and they were distracted.
They were busy. Come on.
They were busy. You know, they were shooting craps up on the roof and smoking cigarettes instead of, you know, manning the sniper tower.
Or to be fair, I mean, like I'm a big fan of the sneaker video games, and I remember showing you know, I can't remember if it was like Thief or Splinter Cell or who knows which one of these games, and people were saying, yeah, but could you really sneak up on a guard like that and knock him out? And I go, you've got to remember the concept of this game is, yes, you know, it is a video game, so technically speaking, this guard only existed from that moment that the level booted up. But inside the game, this guy has been patrolling this exact same patrol line for the last, 6 weeks and has never seen crap. All of a sudden, something a little out of place comes in. He's probably not going to be like, oh, it's on. And that's the same thing with Secret Service. Is we, you know, since the Kennedy assassination, really, is we have bulked up, Secret Service protection so much that, you know, anything but a really, really, really well targeted, you know, assassination campaign is not even remotely going to get through. And again, all presidential assassins have just been completely lunatic cranks. It's not like we've got these like foreign governments trying to kill the president. You know, sort of situation is that it does. It's got to lull an amount of complacency into people. Is the end? Nothing's going to happen because nothing really can happen. But also at the same time, I wonder how many of these people have been on Hillary Clinton's detail, because I have definitely read more than a few articles about how the Hillary Clinton detail is the punitive detail within the Secret Service,
right?
Because they actively hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of those guys that were caught in the bordello in Colombia are now guarding Hillary Clinton?
Yikes.
Or getting Obama coffee.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
My personal favorite is the, it's not a big deal. I don't see why you make it such a big deal about it. And it's like, you know why? Because of all the things, this is one of those, it took so little effort, and he still can't be bothered. He's just such an arrogant fucking prick.
That is the big thing. It is a little like, you know, short oversight, but it's a short oversight in a long list. I mean, this is the same dude that was like, "Hey, Marine Honor Guard, will you guys in your full dress uniforms hold this umbrella for me?"
Yeah,
you're no longer my honor guard. You're now my porters. Boy, right. Will you come bring my bags up for me?
I think it's a matter of mindfulness. You know, you expect someone who is sending other human beings into war to be mindful of those human lives. Yeah. And it just shows that he isn't. He's not mindful enough to think that these are men who would give their lives to protect me. He's not mindful enough to think that. Maybe he should empty his hand, his right hand, his left hand was free. He could have switched his damn coffee to his left hand and saluted with his right hand.
If I see one more person post that fucking picture of Bush, he's saluting with an empty fucking right hand, fucking nitwit.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's hunched over because he doesn't want to drop the fucking dog or have the dog run off.
He's hunched over because he's emptying his right hand. He's hunched over because he's working to empty his right hand to salute. Yep. He was mindful of that moment, of the importance of that moment, of saluting that Marine. I think that's what the problem people have with it, is that Obama does not have the sense to even be mindful for that split second that he has to have that respect for those Marines. And it's shameful. It really is.
My take is having been a Marine and kind of a crappy one.
Crappy Marine.
Well, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. You know, okay. It was.
He has no tattoos. He has no stickers.
I got no stories from the sandbox or anything. We just back in the '80s, we didn't do anything. So anyway, honestly, I don't want that son of a bitch saluting me. I may have to salute him because it's orders, and I'll do it. But I just assume he not do it back, because I'm not saluting him. I'm saluting the office, and because the person absolutely does not deserve it.
But you know what? He's doing it half-assed, and he's done everything half-assed.
Everything half-assed.
I would just as soon him not do it at all.
Yeah, he's been promoted to the highest position you could possibly be. You're president of the United States. You are the leader of the free fucking world, and he's done not a goddamn thing to deserve it. This is a guy who he didn't struggle.
No, it was handed to him.
You know,
his entire life was handed to him.
Yep. And again, at the same time, to do the full circle of science thing, I don't have a PhD, so therefore, when I'm doing research, there's PhDs who are calling the shots for me. They did the Moore School, and they're the senior ranked officials and all of that stuff. But man, there's been times where like people have definitely treated me as not just, you know, a subordinate, but you know, someone less than what I was, and that just is ugly. That's just the no. I'm that's not my job here. That's not what I'm here to do for. I'm here to help you, but no, I'm not your personal slave. And I'm not a Marine. I'm just a dude that's punching the clock and doing that. There's no sacrifice. There's no chance that I'm going to get called off into a war, you know, sort of idea. And here these guys are, and it's not the fact that he's got the cup of coffee in his hand. It's the fact that he always has the cup of coffee in his hand, so to speak. He never once comes first, and they're an afterthought if they're a thought at all.
Yeah, well, he's a classic narcissist.
Yeah, and that's really where it just gets disgusting, because it's one of those. As I was actually hearing a radio show talking about this subject matter, and somebody called up and said he needs to go to his friends in Hollywood and just have him teach him how to pretend to care.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. He's a classic narcissist, but he is not like smart enough to pretend. You know what I mean? It's almost, and especially lately, it's like he just doesn't care. He has checked out. He doesn't give a shit. But throughout his presidency, it's almost kind of like, well, does he not understand what he needs to do here for the optics? Does he, you know, and that's where the media comes in, where they've been covering for him all this time. You know, he's not been smart enough to care about portraying, you know, this different image of his presidency. And the media has covered for him the entire time, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I mean, he got reelected, for God's sake, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, the media has been just as mistreated as everybody else. And yet, yeah, they're just fawning bootlickers.
Well, they know they're culpable. They're culpable. They know, yeah. they know that he's a failure, and they're culpable. They know that.
Well, I mean, when it comes to like actually the actual, you know, definitions of narcissistic personality disorder, there's always that boundary issue is, yeah, people with narcissistic personality disorder will take ownership of things that they don't own. And so I think to an extent I don't think the media would ever think that they're culpable in his abusive behavior, but instead they are now saying we are Obama, you know, Obama is our president. So therefore, if he's going to be an abusive douche to them, well, but he's our president. We have a president.
Sort of idea.
I mean, it's, yeah. now we're dealing into like meta narcissistic personality disorder, because now we're dealing with like the parasitic relationship with multiple narcissists.
That's crazy.
Because the media under no circumstances thinks that they're culpable. They definitely don't feel any guilt about carrying all that water for him to get him elected and then to have him completely shit on them, because no, they're not the type of people to, they've never made a mistake and they never will. At least in their eyes.
And here we are.
All right, Al, it's 10:15. We're done.
Yeah,
and neither has Neil deGrasse Tyson. I just want to say for those who haven't looked up the thing, the big issue with that story is that, you know, I mean, the dude's a scientist, so therefore, I mean, right there, everything, you know, no matter what your field of science is, you know about, you know, verifying things and about how people have been wrong with stuff. And we never gotten into talking about Piltdown, man. That could
no,
be something
we never did.
About.
That'd be a
we
whole
talk
other,
about another
yeah,
time.
We could,
because that was a really, really cool. That's a cool tie into this.
Yeah.
But you know, he should know that, you know, even at worst, you know, yeah, people make mistakes. And, you know, when you make a mistake, you do research and correct that mistake. But these, you know, blatant misquotes that he's put in have been in his slideshows. So it's not like...
I think he's become an actor.
He is. He's exactly what he is.
Yeah, he's an actor now. He's Mr. Science Man.
Yeah, he's gone full Hollywood on us.
Except what's funny is what, you know, okay, when he's doing science, you call him a scientist. But now that he's no longer doing science and he's doing acting, he's no longer a scientist. He's an actor.
I've got to say, Linda Greenlaw, who wrote The Hungry Ocean and a few other books on fishing, talked about one of her later books, she was open about saying, I have now officially made more money selling books than I have going fishing, and just made it right out thing of the, no, I am an author. I'm not a fisherman. I'll tell fishing stories, but you know what? I'm no longer the real deal. When it comes to this, I'm no longer the expert in fishing, because
I totally need to write that book on the internet.
Yes, you do.
Breeder's Internet Guide.
God damn it. I totally do.
Breeder's Guide to Internet Etiquette.
The internet, but we're afraid to ask, by Breeder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Millionaire.
Yep.
Okay.
I want to see Mike Rowe arm wrestle Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's
what shirtless.
Oh my God! That is
has to be shirtless. No, rule shirtless.
Okay, so there's an interesting contrast, because you got Mike Rowe, who doesn't claim to be anything at all except exactly what he is.
He could read the phone book.
He's a guy with a voice, and uh-huh. he'll straight up tell you that's all he is.
And he's also, I mean, it's one of those, like, unlike a lot of these people, you know, he's definitely taking a lot of action against the current press for, you know, for college versus blue collar careers and things like that. But at the same time, he never once, you know, shits on blue on, you know, I've never once felt threatened by him on the fact that, yes, I was someone who went to college, got a degree, and now use my degree exclusively to make money. You know, sort of ideas, you know, because he knows that we need, you know, that we need doctors and lawyers and scientists and things like that. But at the same time, we don't need a whole lot of people with, you know, Russian lit degrees. We do need people with Russian lit degrees.
Well, I think
women's studies.
I think his big thing is you go look. There are companies dying for welders.
Yep.
And because they can't. Nobody wants to go to school to learn how to be a welder because they don't think it pays anything. But I guarantee you, it pays.
it pays more than most things.
He always talks about all the colloquialism, you know, where, oh, the world needs ditch diggers too, which is just a line of the you're a failure. You know, if you're a ditch digger, you're a failure. Or, you know, don't want to work in the factory. If you work in a factory, you are a failure.
There's lots of people that make some good money digging ditches.
Yep. And so it's one of those, like, and it's one of those, no, those are useful jobs. The world does need ditch diggers.
Yep.
And everyone's all high and mighty, or the only people that are ditch diggers are the junkies that flunked out of everything and are just completely worthless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with the line about the, you know, oh yeah, you'll, you know, I remember saying to someone, oh yeah, you'll be hauling my garbage someday sort of idea. And I just realized You know what? If those people I said that to were the people that hauled my garbage, I would be a very, very unhappy person because they would do just as bad a job hauling my garbage as they did everything else. And I'm glad that people do a good job at hauling my garbage, because there's definitely been days where I have stepped out to my garbage can and realized that, yeah, they just tipped it half up to the truck and didn't really do it all the way. And so they're still half full of garbage and they just moved on because they didn't give a shit. And that sucks.
Yep.
Take some pride in your work, even if it's dumping garbage or picking up roadkill.
Nobody's ever going to outsource digging ditches to somebody over in India.
Or clearing out your pipes or fixing the wiring in your house. Or, you know, I mean, there's a long list of stuff that is not going to get outsourced. It has to be done.
Exactly. Yep. It has to be done on site. You know, electricians, plumbers. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Masons. I'd be a little bit leery of being a mason.
Well, some of the...
Jay, don't say that. Dwarven ones in chat.
Some of the trades are kind of being taken over by Mexican immigrants now.
Not sheetrock. That's all Canadians.
Oh, not down here it isn't.
I know. We have Quebecois up in New England.
Yeah. I'm gonna see. We're actually getting sheetrock put in. We're getting sheetrock put in tomorrow. I'm gonna have to see.
Right. We are so off the rails now. It's not even funny. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Enjoy your sheetrock.
We'll be back next week.
Good night, Internet.
Good night.